This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Of the hour, it is VSiN. Bob Books, Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, a lot to get to here in the next couple hours. Zachary Cohen's going to join the program alongside Will Hill, the King of Connecticut, later on as this show goes. Going to break down a lot in the World Cup, that's for sure. But we have reached the All-Star break here, and tonight is the Home Run Derby. And Jensen Lewis, that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Chicks dig the long ball. One of the best commercials Major League Baseball ever did with was Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux back in the day. We're going to get some of that tonight here in Philadelphia, Jensen. And there are some rule changes here. There is no clock, which I think is the way baseball ought to be. Maybe a discussion for another day. But what do you make here, Jensen, as we've reached the break here for Major League Baseball?
Yep, and a couple of the ways, if you're going to play it tonight, some weather conditions, checking with our local sources on the ground there, Dave. A slight breeze, about 7 to 9 miles an hour, blowing south-southeast. What does that mean as far as the ballpark? That means a nice breeze out to right center field. That is obviously going to slightly favor the left-handed bats there. Kyle Schwarber, Munetaka Murakami, Ben Rice, Jack Caglione, Bryce Harper. Temperatures around 80 degrees with about 49% humidity. So, Dave, nearly a perfect night with it being clear, no threat of precipitation. So, again, I favor the left-handed bats. I am probably going to play the boost on DraftKings. So if you are a customer in those jurisdictions, please use it. I'm probably going to play Kyle Schwarber to win this thing. That gets a boost from plus 310 to a little over 4-1. So that is a hell of a boost right there for who is the shortest shot on the board. Junior Caminero, for what it's worth, Dave, has taken a little bit of more money this morning. He's down to plus 425. Munetaka Murakami is 5-1. Those are your top, as far as the odds go, options to bet today. So excited to see this one. Lot of star power of the eight guys that'll be on display tonight.
If people have already forgotten last year's All-Star game, remember Pete Alonso with a big blast. He gets tied up late. They go into extra innings, and it was Kyle Schwarber in kind of like a home run off, if you will, that ended it last year in the All-Star game and then became the MVP because of it. Very quickly, because of that, kind of used to this, and a lot of first-timers that are going to be in the Home Run Derby tonight. Is that why experience matters for you tonight with Schwarber at home?
Well, I think more than anything, he kind of understands how to do this, especially with the swing off last year to win the All-Star game. I think he is positioned, especially with the familiarity there at home, the obvious adrenaline flow that'll be there. And then also, you know, because there is no shot clock, you're not going to have the fatigue factor because it is swings, Dave. So again, you hit a homer, you get 20 swings. It's not like you're just going to keep going these marathon rounds. So I think that's another part of the handicap. 20 swings in round one, 15 swings in both the semis and the finals. The top four in round one advance and the tiebreaker is the longest home run that that individual player hits. So remember that as you're looking at it. I'll recap my props that are available on FanDuel for some other ways to play the Derby later on tonight in best bets. But I think I'm going to play Schwarber, and I'll probably lock it in right now at plus 403 to win the Home Run Derby here in Philadelphia tonight.
Very quickly, we'll talk about this a lot more tomorrow on the program as well. Of course, the Midsummer Classic upon us, the National League right now being the home team. They are small favorites. Christopher Sanchez will be the starter for the National League, minus $1.35. Dylan Cease on the other side here for the American League. They are plus $1.10. Very quickly, I don't know how drastically these numbers might change, if at all, before tomorrow's show. Any leans there? I know we're waiting on the lineups. We know no Shohei Ohtani, no Aaron Judge, but at least we know the starters.
We do know that it is a 7.5 run total here, and that is juiced to the over, minus $1.20. American League is the decided, well, not decided underdog, plus $1.10. National League minus $1.35. We'll wait and see the lineups later today. I am interested, at least early on, just knowing where some of the scripts might be. Usually the managers will kind of have that script out maybe a little bit later on. So tomorrow, Dave, will probably be in the morning where we can take advantage of at least knowing the starting lineups and then potentially what other starting pitchers will get the nod there in the first three or four innings.
By the way, had a blast at home in Virginia Beach. Mom and Dad and I and my sister Vicky, we stayed up to watch Belgium against the United States. Yes, Mom and Dad stayed up all the way in the East Coast to watch, and then we were very disappointed. So we get knocked out over a week ago now, and then you're left with, after all the dust settles, the Big Four. And no, sadly, we're not a part of this here as the semifinals are set with France and Spain and England and Argentina. First of all, the disappointment, because I didn't get to talk to you about this. Were you actually disappointed that the United States is not here, or did we kind of get over our skis with the expectation levels?
No, I mean, I didn't expect them to get that far. And again, for what it's worth, the monetization opportunities now are incredibly good. The four big cross-sport parlays that I had, that you and I had talked about, France and the Rays to each win the World Cup and World Series, respectively. That's alive at 65-1. Argentina with the Mariners at 56-1. England and the Brewers at 109, 110-1. Same with Spain and the Phillies at 110-1. I could not be happier as far as where my cross-sport parlays are. These are set up, and the happiest people in the world are FIFA and Fox, because they got the four teams from a ratings and advertising standpoint that they were hoping for. The eyes of the world will certainly be on both Jerry World tomorrow and Atlanta on Wednesday. And we are home with one of those rounds that we'll talk about, another big cross-sport parlay coming up here in just a moment.
I love the fact that the tandem that you have is England with Milwaukee, because when it comes to those fan bases and the way they eat meats, it's completely different. I mean, I don't know what they do. Are they boiling steaks in England? My goodness, it'll get you arrested in the United States. Yannick Sinner overseas. He wins Wimbledon yesterday. Jensen, a little bit dicey in the first round of this whole fortnight, if you will, and then kind of cruised to the finals and then got some resistance there, as we would expect, in said final yesterday. But you do have Sinner already at minus $1.75 as one of the three-leg cross-sport parlays to get that done. Paired with Rory and the Dodgers, you got to feel pretty good now that you got Sinner home here for that one of the three legs.
Certainly. And again, he had to come back yesterday, just like he did the year prior to win Wimbledon. Now a back-to-back champion. No Carlos Alcaraz, remember, in this year, because he had to bow out due to injury. But I tell you, Alexander Zverev really acquitted himself well. He gave Sinner everything he could handle, even taking that first set and taking him to a second set tiebreaker there. So love to see it. It's the most tennis I've watched in one day in quite some time, obviously, with the betting implications that I have on that cross-sport parlay. And then what Linda Descova had to do, I mean, every opportunity to put away Muhova, couldn't get it done. Muhova comes back and wins the second set, back from the dead, only to fall to Descova. What a tournament she had. And again, all the top seeds for the ladies had bowed out earlier in that tournament. So anxious to see moving forward what we'll get for Wimbledon next year.
Interesting. We'll have Zach Cohen on a little bit later on in the program. We'll talk about the United States Open, the last major and the last slam here, if you will, for the tennis side coming up there in New York City. By the way, that is a great venue if you haven't been there. A little bit different from what you get the All England Club there for what you're going to get in New York City. Two very, very different tournaments. We're going to get a different tournament in golf. It's the last major of the year. And again, can't wait. We're going to have Rex Hoggard on the program tomorrow on the program from Golf Channel. Tom Kim is going to be riding high going into that. Now, I just want to point out, we'll get to the no-fly zone here later on as well, which was very popular for what we did for the majors. We'll do that again for the Open Championship. I believe in the history of the Scottish Open and then the British Open, as we call it, the Open as they call it, you've only had one guy do the double-double. That guy, Phil Mickelson. So it is rare that you get this. Not saying Tom Kim can't win it, but I'm sure he doesn't care about the history of that. The fact that he won the Scottish, certainly a tip in his cap, and a very big long shot, over 80-1, Jensen, to get that done this week.
What a tournament. And again, one of those dress rehearsals that we always look at as an indicator into the Open, just the time to get towards the links courses, if you will, and changing the strategy and the play. How will that affect our handicap moving forward? I think you and I already have identified, back by popular demand, the no-fly zone later in the show. Three guys were fading. And I'll give away a little bit of the story here, Dave. I got three big names. I mean, big names that I am not just fading, not making the weekend, my friend. Stay tuned.
Oh, my, come on.
For those three names, for sure.
I got a short shot, I got a mid shot, and I got a long shot that will be in the no-fly zone for me this weekend coming up in England at the All England Club. And by the way, shout out to the guys, do a great job here with long shots, certainly with Kelly, Matt, and Wes Reynolds. So they'll have the breakdown for you as the week goes, and we'll talk to those guys too to get you prepared for the last major of the year. One and done, it sucked. There's no other way to put it. With a flying knee, he tries to do a little switch knee and a switch kick right off the first seconds of the bout with Max Holloway on Saturday night. I'm talking about Conor McGregor, of course. And he blows out his knee. That's the way it looks. We'll get the official medicals on it. I don't know that we'll ever see Conor McGregor back inside of an octagon, Jensen, after what we saw Saturday night. No fault of his own. I'm not going to fault Conor McGregor for this, but he looked like a guy that's his body's breaking down, right? We saw it against Dustin the Diamond Poirier 5 years ago. Hadn't seen him in this whole way off. Comes back and immediately blows out his knee. So doesn't look good for him. For Max, he gets $3 million for the easiest win of his career. $30 million is what Conor got. And I'm sure people are mad because of the short night's work. Injuries happen, people, in MMA, in sports writ large. Sadly, it happened at the biggest stage. Patty the Batty Pimblett, shout out to you. I was against you on Saturday night, and I regret that decision. You took care of Benoit Saint-Denis in spectacular fashion. Let's talk our football. What are the Green Bay Packers going to do? That's next right here, Visa by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The VSiN NFL betting guide is out as we speak. You're going to bet those futures markets. We know you are. Win totals, divisional races, MVP, rookie of the year, Super Bowl odds. Our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before training camps begin. And people, they're getting ready to begin. So inside, you're going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, future analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today with our football special. It's just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. With full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. And Jensen, I'll say this about training camps. You got to July back in my old stomping ground, say in Washington, D.C., covering the then Redskins for almost two decades. Like, vacation time was over. And I think that's why part of why I took it last week, like, it's ingrained in my brain that once you get to football, baby, we don't stop. Now, I know a lot of people, some might be skeptical and say, I don't know if I want to bet yet because I haven't seen these teams. With the way it's changed over the last couple decades, say, as we do this countdown now and get you closer and closer to the Hall of Fame game, they have changed the way that you're going to be viewing these teams. You're not going to get a lot of looks at them. So you almost have to make those calls beforehand. Let's get to it in today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
Hut, hut. This is the Daily Gridiron.
So with the limit the views you're not going to get them, say, the starters when you get to preseason. Like, I almost say this now. I don't know how you handicap anything that you do see in preseason because it's so watered down. It's so disguised that I don't know if you can really glean anything from it. So to me, if you're taking a stab, say, on the Packers today and their win total, their props to make the playoffs, to win the division, you can go ahead and kind of go with what you know right now. Will anything change for you, say, from here in mid-July before we get to September?
You know, I think you can take stock in what an offseason to date has been. And honestly, like, this is a perfect scenario of what you just alluded to. We already know a couple of key parts, specifically with the Packers. First of all, Micah Parsons not going to be there for the first handful of weeks. And also the trade of Rashawn Gary to Dallas. Does that change the whole continuity, at least on paper, of what the front seven for the Packers may look like? Now, I know that they signed Javon Hargrave from the Vikings there. That was a big immediate boost to the interior. They are also getting back as far as the line of scrimmage. Sean Ryan, which I think was critical for their offensive line continuity. And as much as they love to run the football, Dave, you got to be able to have that. Zaire Franklin, too. Getting that trade, that might be an under-the-radar trade for most people. But again, a veteran linebacker, he's pretty good on special teams. I think those are some key ones. Okay, losing Romeo Doubs, I don't think we needed to pay that market value for him. At least you and I, we could be in the minority on that. But I think your money way better spent elsewhere, and they certainly were able to do that. Okay, let's take a look on paper, Dave. When you have Jordan Love, big contract here for the big right-hander. Let's see what he ends up doing. Tyrod Taylor comes in as a veteran backup. I think you have arguably one of the great workhorses in football there in Josh Jacobs to turn around and hand the ball off to. That wide receiver room, can we get a healthy year from Christian Watson, from Jaden Reed? Matthew Golden look very solid as a rookie. Tucker Kraft coming back from injury, he was a huge part of the offense. I think when the pieces are healthy, you love the upside of this team. But I think that's the operative part, Dave, and I'll throw it to you with this idea. If you know, and we do, that you don't have arguably one of the most disruptive pass rushers, defensive players, and Micah Parsons outside of, you know, a Miles Garrett, a Max Crosby, you know, those guys of that ilk, is it an automatic just knowing where their schedule is early on at the Vikings, at the Jets, home against the Falcons, at Tampa? I mean, you had three road games to start. And oh, by the way, that Falcons game is a quick turnaround Thursday night football. Yes, that's your home debut. Do you parlay kind of the really tough first third of the schedule versus what they will have in a watered down defensive unit without one of the most impactful players in football?
It's a great question. I don't know that I have a simple answer for it because, as we alluded to, kind of you don't know what this team is actually going to look like. I know with the longer regular seasons, they're going to get longer, by the way. That'll be a conversation we'll be having probably this time next year. Do you take the beginning of the year to really see what you have? And you're waiting for Micah to come back. And by the way, waiting for Micah to come back, I hate to say this. You know he's one of my favorite players in the league, obviously, from his Cowboy days. Is he going to be the same guy? I know we're all assuming that you're going to be that guy and you're going to be explosive again. Sometimes they say it takes a year after the ACL before you really look like that guy. So I don't know what percentage of Micah Parsons you're going to get. And the capital you gave up to get him out of Dallas was severe, okay? Look, you can't predict injuries. They happen. We just talked about this with Conor McGregor and his ACL. This is different. I mean, you need Micah Parsons in order for this team to excel on defense. And I'll give you another key name that people are going to have to talk about a lot this year. It's Jonathan Gannon. Because now that Halfley is down in Miami as the new head coach, Gannon comes in as the new defensive coordinator. So if LaFleur can handle the offense, which it looks like he's been able to handle the offense here with the transition from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, and it still looks pretty good, right? I think we can say that. And I think there might still be questions about Jordan Love. Look, for a while, Malik Willis was looking so good that when Jordan Love got hurt last year, there was a clamoring to keep the backup as the starter. I mean, I thought that was kind of crazy talk, but there was talk of that in real time, right? That did exist. So, like, what am I relying on if I'm betting the Packers? because I thought I could rely on the defense last year with Halfley, and you could until Micah went down. Now can I rely on Gannon coming in? Kind of that defense didn't always look so good in Arizona. Now he's coming in here as a retread to try to get his juices back as a DC. Obviously did a great job with the Eagles when they got to the Super Bowl back in the day. But if I have to rely solely on the offense to possibly pick up for the defense when Micah comes back, and if Micah looks like Micah, that's a tall order. And I think what we all think is a really competitive division. When I see a win total of 10.5 out there, I get it. It's juiced to the under at -$1.40. Jensen, that's the only way I could play this. If you made me play it without looking at this team, it would have to be the under 10.5 at -$1.40. I don't think I can bank this team for 11 wins.
Okay, knowing where Jordan Love's contract situation is, and obviously with the injury last year, and Malik Willis was fantastic, and I know a lot of people understood, you know, why he got the deal that he did in Miami. Jordan Love is under contract for this year and also for next year. He does have an out in 2028. And kind of looking at where it's going to be a not only a player-motivated year, but looking at some of the season props. Can you get behind Jordan Love, knowing the inconsistency of this wide receiver room health-wise? His passing yard prop for the season, 3,549.5. And his regular season passing touchdown total is 24.5. Now, I would say on the surface, initial gut reaction, I'm looking at 24.5 passing touchdowns and saying, well, he should be able to get there. But again, I ask you, who's he throwing to in the second half of the season? Maybe even the back third of the season, knowing the injury issues they had. For what it's worth, Dave, for our VSiN NFL betting guide, the schedule strength for the Packers is rated as 27th out of 32. Okay, so basically fifth, sixth easiest schedule on paper as far as opponent win percentage. I would think, and we don't like doing road teams early in Survivor, but if the Packers go to the Meadowlands and can't beat the Jets, isn't the writing on the wall for this group after a pretty significant NFC North road test to start the season in Minnesota and then coming back against the Jets? This is another team, if you're playing Circus Survivor too, you have to hold them for Thanksgiving Day. Remember that. And how tight those teams are, you know, where we are just for the Thanksgiving week in and of itself. So anxious to see where you would play them. Would it be early, or would you say, nope, it's depending on the contest, you're going to have to save Green Bay to use later in the year?
As you corrected me, because I thought it was Winston Churchill who said, those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. That would be, I think it was a German philosopher that you got the correct info on. I have nightmares of backing the Packers in the Meadowlands. I remember it was a couple years ago on a Monday night against the Giants when Jordan Love just laid an egg and they lost a game they had no business losing. That would worry me a little bit about that repeat trip there to the Jets in week two. And by the way, just pointing this out, Romeo Doubs did lead the team last year in receiving yards at 724. So I'm with you. I wouldn't have paid him the money, but he was their leading receiver. And Jordan Love's QBR last year, his rating was 101.2. Malik Willis in four games was 145.5. I mean, I can understand why there were clamorings for Malik Willis to be the guy who's now in Miami. So, Jordan Love, this is still your team. I say still your team. You got to make sure it is your team in perpetuity. Put up some better numbers this year. They were good last year. They need to be better. Our no-fly zone for the British Open. It's up next.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books, and one of my favorite sayings of all time is those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And it was not Winston Churchill. And I was wrong again. It was not a German philosopher, Jensen. It was a Spanish-American philosopher. Is that correct?
Yeah. Let me find it again here.
George Santayana.
George Santayana, or as he is commonly referred to, is Jorge Agustin Nicolas Ruiz. So first day of school, a little bit tough to be able to get that one across the line.
I'd like to have a beer with George. I think it's a fantastic quote, George, and I'm picking up what you're putting down. Okay, you should know that in your betting terms, because sometimes you're going to get burned by the same guys. You go back to the well, and you did not remember the sins of the past. Jensen, this is going to be a lot of fun. We did it for the last major. We're going to start this thing, and we'll do it next year as well when we get to Augusta and beyond. Every major, a no-fly zone. And what that means, America, it's three golfers that we will not put on our card no matter what. Now, I should make some caveats to this and say, at least for the first round, if you want to adjust after you watch day one, I think if you did that in a court of law, the judge would allow it. Okay, Jensen? Now, I'm going to give you a long shot, a mid shot, and a short shot that are on my Top Gun no-fly zones. Number one, Brooks Koepka. Oh, am I mad at you, Brooksy, because I believed in you last week, and you're sitting there at 5 under par at the Scottish Open. You can play Lynx golf. I know you can, big fella. And then you proceed to go 5 over the rest of the way, and you miss the cut in Scotland. What are you going to do in England? And you want me with my money to back you at 60-1 as a long shot? No. Brooksy, normally that would be a number, Jensen, that I would jump at. But after what I just saw, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or is it the other way around? I'm not quite sure. But Brooks Koepka, I will not, like the Who, get fooled again on this one. You are clearly on my no-fly zone as a long shot. Brooks Koepka, I will not be partaking in any Brooks features this week in England. Okay, number two on my list. Now, this is a mid-shot. It might surprise you. And we do the no-fly zone if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network and I cross my arms. That could also be for the X-Man. How about Xander Schauffele? You can find him around 25-1 there in some books. Jensen, I'm just not seeing it. Didn't play well last week. Missed the cup as well at the Genesis. I don't know that he's going to miss the cut. I'm not rooting against, by the way, either one of our Americans in Brooksy or Xander. I want both these guys to fly high over there in England. Just don't see it. And here's a guy that, remember last year, 2 years ago, he's one of the best players in the world. He wins a couple majors in the same year, including a British Open. And then last year, he wasn't the same with the injury. And we thought this would be the bounce back year. There's been no bounce. There's been no pep in the step. And again, until the numbers get longer with the price point associated, I can't back Xander at this mid number, if you will, around 25-1 in the marketplace. Now, my number one guy that will not be on my card to start, as a matter of fact, Jensen, I will play against him on Thursday in any head-to-head. It's not out yet. The market is not, because we don't know what the matchups are going to be yet here on a Monday. But I played it last week at the Genesis, and I played Tommy Fleetwood, first-round matchup, at plus $1.55 against Scottie Scheffler. That's right. Look, the books are starting to adjust ever so slightly, Jensen. $6, $6.50-1 is what I'm seeing at Circa this morning. Until that number gets to where it should be, and dare I say, 9-1. I think you can make a realistic case that Rory McIlroy should be the betting favorite this week and not Scottie Scheffler. I know it's cut and paste when it comes to the odds board every week when Scottie Scheffler's in a tournament. We got to do a little bit deeper digging. I keep inverting those. So no fly zone and Scottie Scheffler at the short number here, Jensen. Until it's longer, then I'll be interested. First round, I'll be going against Scottie. Those are my three All-Americans, Brooks, X, Scottie. You start off the week banned on the no-fly list.
Very good. We align on one, and that was our first selection. Brooks Koepka, easy fade for me, even though he's had solid history here at Birkdale.
Yes.
The recent form, the major trajectory, a lot of injury interruptions and inconsistencies, but the power players, you know, when you strike it well, you can post the low rounds. I just think the dip in accuracy, and I have questions about the iron play on this specific layout. If you're not accurate, trouble quickly, and that could pile up a lot of the bogeys there. I am going to be looking, and my caveat for the no-fly zone moving forward, Dave, I'm looking at specifically this week, not only the three guys to fade, but I'm going to play them all to miss the cut. So I can't wait for you to think and react to where we are as far as the names that I've got. So Brooks Koepka, again, I'm going to be looking for some nice plus money for him to miss the cut, but he's number one on the no-fly list for me. Number two, Hey, Norway bowed out after a great World Cup run. The Viking row was something that took the nation and took the world by storm. Well, row your boat all the way home, Victor Hovland. The streaky putting, the occasional dip in the ball striking. I get it. It sounds like we're going to have some firm, fast links greens, tricky runoffs, the bunkers. If you're poor around the greens, your putting is not right. Good luck, man. The volatility for Victor, not something I want to invest in positively. I don't even know if he makes the weekend. So he is my number two man. And I will definitely find him on a plus odds to miss the cut as well. Dave, we talk about finishing the Grand Slam for Rory McIlroy. He's done that. Have we had a guy to finish the Grand Slam missing the cut all in 1 year? For the majors, Bryson DeChambeau missed the cut anywhere in plus money. The recent major performances have really been one of those that you'll look back. Maybe they'll do a 30 for 30 on it. What happened to a guy that has already been a U.S. Open champion, has found his way to the top of the leaderboard in a lot of these big tournaments? I just can't see it. This year, for whatever reason, Dave, the mentality and I think the adversity has been too much for him to overcome. And so it's the dubious Grand Slam honor. I got him missing the cut here at Birkdale. I don't think he makes the weekend. So it'll be Brooks Koepka, Victor Hovland, Bryson DeChambeau in the no-fly zone for me this week.
So we align on Brooksy. And again, we do not go over our homework assignments. These are individual, so we don't know until we do the show, just like you watching at home. So we align with Brooksy. Here's what's interesting. I had written down Victor Hovland as a guy that put in my no-fly zone. And I took him off, Jensen. He had a really good Sunday or a good weekend, at least at the Scottish, and it looked like he was going to miss the cut. But you had the perfect word to describe him right now. Volatility. And so there, like, you talk about a ceiling and a floor with a guy. I think Victor kind of does that. And it's the same thing with Bryson. I think it's an excellent point that, look, when he's on, he can go win this thing. But when he's off, he's going to miss the cut by five shots. Is that a guy you want to bet on with that type of volatility? By the way, we got to figure out a way we can take your three and put them into a parlay to miss the cut and see what type of number we get. It might be massive. Yeah.
It will be.
I think it will be. Yeah, I like where your head's at. Right, like we can. I think we're at least looking at. Yep.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to find it. They haven't posted on DraftKings. They usually do. I was going to look on FanDuel as well, but I will certainly be looking at not only playing them each individually, but we will find that for a little pizza money. All three of them will be at plus money. I mean, imagine what Brooks' number is going to be. And DeChambeau will be a little bit closer, you know, as far as the odds go. But, wow, we're in the 20s, I think. We're in 20-1 territory, I think, in that parlay.
By the way, just if you're curious, Bryson is 45-1 on DraftKings this morning to win the tournament. Victor, which is a dip. So, finally, the betting markets have dipped there. Victor is plus, he's 4,500 as well, 45-1 to win the tournament. And then, again, Brooksy, we're looking at north of 50-1, 60-1. I've seen some other books. I made the point that I do think you can make a case that Rory should be the absolute betting favorite here this week at plus 770, and Scotty's still at 6-1. John Rahm is an interesting case. Now, he's the third betting choice here. Why John Rahm is shorter in the market than Matty Fitzpatrick, who's about 20-1? What are we doing here? John Rahm had a great Friday to make the cut this weekend and then kind of an indifferent weekend. But there is no way in the betting market to me that right now, the way they're playing, forget about the resumes, the way they're playing, Scotty should not be favored over Rory, and John Rahm should not be $5 shorter than Matty Fitzpatrick. So I don't want to tip my hand as to who we're going to have in our cards. We'll do that. And again, we're going to have Rex Hoggard in the program tomorrow from the Golf Channel. But Jensen, the books have not adjusted on some of these guys, and it does surprise me. I think we still think this is 3 years ago with John Rahm and maybe last year with Scottie Scheffler.
I wrote Rahm down. I wrote Scheffler down. But I went strictly criteria no-fly zone this week on miss the cut. I cannot wait to build those tomorrow and Wednesday. And you better set your alarm, big boy. You got the team no sleep coming up here on Wednesday night for sure.
I will not miss this tournament. Absolutely love it. It's my favorite out of the four majors. Let's do a check-in here in the American League East from where we were at the beginning of the year to where we are now at the All-Star break. That's next right here. VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
$30 million. That's how much you're going to get in guaranteed prizes this year. Cash in on the football season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. So Circa Millions, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Jensen and I already involved in that contest. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last one will win. I'm in it with a buddy of mine, John Chu, this year. And Grandissimo from Circa. For the high rollers, $100,000 per entry. So you big boys, you want a big tournament, that's going to be it with Circa Grandissimo. You got to enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere in the United States. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circasports.com for all of said details. Jensen, this has been a lot of fun doing some inventory here as we've reached the All-Star break here in Major League Baseball. Went over the NL East a little bit earlier in the program. Please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books. You can take a look and listen on your time. Let's talk about the AL East, because it felt like a two-horse race for the majority of the first half of this year. I wonder if a third horse is emerging or more will emerge. What do you make of what you thought then and what you think now?
Yeah, it's a big swing and miss for me on who I thought was going to win the division. I picked Baltimore to win it here, and they are in dead last. So my hot take or my bold take in our VSiN MLB betting guide in Baltimore was Pete Alonso hits 40 or more homers and the Orioles win the American League East. Well, we're one for two. Pete Alonso, 21 homers currently, so he's over halfway there. Baltimore is 11 and a half games back of first place in the East. Not to say we can write that one off, but I think we could be comfortable saying that one's not going to get across the line. Let's go to the top, though, and it's the two in the Yankees and the Rays takes that I feel really comfortable about. The Yankee rotation reinforcements prove vital as they find their way back to the American League Championship Series. Well, they've already needed to dip into the rotation reinforcements. And what I meant then, Dave, is remember Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon were going to start the year on the injured list and then find their way back probably towards the end of April and towards the end of May. Well, Gerrit Cole is back. Unfortunately, Carlos Rodon back onto the injured list and currently rehabbing here with the elbow inflammation. So we hope he is going to be okay. It's Max Fried, remember, who had the elbow, the bone bruise back on May 13th. If you get him back, now all of a sudden with the way Cam Schlittler has thrown the ball, Gerrit Cole has been great, and then you get Fried. Ryan Weathers has been outstanding. Will Warren has been good. That's a dominant, formidable rotation. So ideally, you get both Rodon and Fried back before the end of the year, and you're in great shape. The Yankees, oh, by the way, three games back of the Rays for the top spot in the American League East. They currently, Dave, would be the top wild card team in the American League if the postseason started today. It's the Rays take that I think might have caught people off guard when they read it, but it's really played out quite well thus far. I had Caminero finishes top five in American League MVP voting, and the Rays win at least 85 games. Well, they're on pace for a 90-72 record, so they would fly over that prediction. And Junior Caminero right now, the second shortest odds to win American League Most Valuable Player at plus 450, comfortably in the top five if American League MVP voting were submitted today. Toronto and Boston. Okay, two case studies here, right? I had Toronto earns a wild card berth and Dylan Cease records 200 or more strikeouts. Well, guess what? Dylan Cease not only starting the All-Star game for the American League, but he is second only to Jacob Mizorowski in strikeouts currently. Cease has 148. The Miz is 167. So barring an injury, we are not only getting 200 strikeouts, we're getting way over with the way Cease has been so far. And Toronto has actually held serve here the last couple of weeks. They're only 2.5 games out of a wild card spot, so they're in good shape for that prediction. It's the Boston Red Sox that until maybe the last week or so, we thought might have been dead in the water here. My hot take and my bold take for them, Roman Anthony receives most valuable player votes and Boston makes a deep October run. Well, Anthony's still rehabbing from the sprained right ring finger that he sustained back on May 4th. It sounds like they're going to get him back sometime once the second half begins. And then this run in July, I mean, Dave, we're looking at a Boston Red Sox team that was double digits back of a wild card spot when we started the month. How about starting July and then running off what has been just a remarkable finish to the first half of the regular season? They have the most wins in Major League Baseball. They're 9-1 in the month of July. And what did that do? Oh, it just brought them to win in a half game of a playoff spot. So all in all, outside of Baltimore, kind of had the AL East forecasted decently well on the bold takes for our VSiN MLB betting guide.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty darn good. You know, you take a swing with Baltimore, and I saw that too. But everything else is spot on, and Pete still might get you the 40 home runs. We just don't think they'll be able to win the AL East. Boston is interesting because if you remember right before the month turn of July, we do this every month too. We gave out our plays for teams that we like to have the most wins, and I gave out Milwaukee, and I gave out Boston. Guess who didn't bet those plays?
Oh, no.
But, you know, I hope that people watched the show and listened and then bet it because those are the teams I gave out right here, loving Boston. Now, again, I was a little bit concerned, like, when you don't have your stud lefty in the rotation to go, you worry, can you hold up? Well, they've held up pretty darn well. And I guess you mentioned with Anthony coming back, I think the big question mark, Jensen, here for this division is Aaron Judge. He feels like the guy that we're going to talk about as far as whether it's the Yankees to run down the Rays, whether it's the Red Sox to really come in there, maybe challenge the Yankees for second place or beyond. What do we make of that 1,000-pound elephant in the room that is Aaron Judge? Because every time we get an update, Jensen, it seems like he's further and further away from playing.
So, again, we're going to probably have a very watchful eye on the re-imaging that Judge is getting over the All-Star break. While you were out last week, Brian Cashman met with the media, and we played some of his commentary, not only on what they expect from Judge, but also a troubling development with Giancarlo Stanton, who injured the calf that he was rehabbing. It's not a re-injury. It's a new injury of that same calf. So I don't even know if you get Stanton back in September, let alone in the playoffs, the way he's been. He's been out forever. But more the concern, and you're right to say that Aaron Judge dictates a lot here and what the clarity or lack thereof is on that imaging of the rib cage area, how quickly they think they can ramp him up in upper body activity, I think goes squarely into what their acquisitions are at the deadline. Remember, it's August 3rd is the trade deadline this year. And Dave, they're going to have to make decisions quite quickly here in my eyes. A lot of smoke around them. Again, we're looking at 3 weeks from today is the trade deadline. You're looking at a lot of smoke out of the Bronx around them looking to bolster the catching position. Hunter Goodman is the guy they're targeting, the young phenom there in Colorado. Ryan Jeffers, I think, would be their backup option in Minnesota. And they're probably going to look at third base, too. McMahon has been outstanding defensively, but has given you next to nothing offensively. And there bears the repeat. If you don't have Judge, you don't have the primary offensive source. So they're going to have a lot of stock to take here in the next couple of weeks.
I think when the market sets the prices and I'm confused by the numbers, that means they probably set it properly. And what I'm getting at here in this conversation I did have with Will, check out Should Have Bet More podcast here, all of our VSiN podcasts as well. We discussed this on the program yesterday. The Yankees are plus $1.25 as we reach the break to win this division. The Rays are minus $1.30. Now, the Red Sox have been shortened to 25-1. I don't know if they can actually run them down 10 games back right now of Tampa. But when I get to the top two, and what we think these teams will do, as you alluded to with the Yankees here, with reinforcements, am I at plus $1.25? Am I going to rue the fact that I'm not playing this number? Should I be betting on the Yankees 3 games back at the break, which is exactly where they were, by the way, this time last year against Toronto? And they almost ran them down, got to the last day in the regular season, but they didn't. And they got the wild card. I do think it's important for the Yankees to win the division and play one less round like they played last year and lost to Toronto. So, like, should we be looking at the Yankees at plus money and saying, yeah, that's too good to be true. I got to scoop that number up now.
Me personally, no. And if you think that it's a longer time that Judge is out, you've got to sprinkle on the Yankees to potentially miss the postseason altogether at 16-1. And I know that is a crazy thing to say out loud, Dave, but you have to also keep in mind, and they have a very nice cushion right now. It's about, what, 6.5, 7 games, ironically, over the Boston Red Sox. But the Red Sox are way better positioned, if you think about it, with offensive continuity. Anthony, they should get back sooner than later. We don't have a timetable for Judge. That's the scariest part. Not saying you should bet it now, but if you think that Judge is going to be out longer once they get that imaging back, there is a world we live in where the Yankees miss the playoffs.
It could be like the reverse Bucky Dent, where it's the Red Sox the last day of the regular season knock out the Yankees. Could you imagine? Oh, my goodness. All right, we're going to talk with Zachary Cohen coming up here. All things Wimbledon and look ahead to the United States Open as well. That's all next.